A lot of good Springsteen on this episode, Holly. Great job.
So much good.
Grab your hands, grab my hands. What the disgusting fuck does that even mean?
I think it's about fucking RoboCop.
I'm just gonna invite I'm just gonna invite these chodes one by one on the show during the offseason to be like, explain yourselves. But now I want to invite that vaguely Nazi dude who said, "I bet you think RoboCop is political," on here to explain what RoboCop is actually about to me.
My prime directive is to love you, babe.
It wasn't even a tweet. It was a reply to somebody. I don't know how it came across my timeline, but it's just him going, "I bet you think RoboCop is political." Oh.
Well, there's a heart beating in this metal chest.
I'm a robot cop, and girl, you're the best.
Comply.
You have 15 seconds before you break my heart.
Don't mind me, I've got a city to save. You can't put me in the microwave.
The city's cruel, it should make you hung.
Through my eyes.
And the ant survived.
That's not a design feature, something's terribly wrong.
Out on 8 Mile, the city will make you holler, make you say things and buy it for a dollar.
This is not a political movie at all.
The Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I'm sorry about that, but I don't have much of a choice in the matter. We are now finally sailing into the off season. It's a magnificent thing. Nothing really changes, by the way, year to year here. Alabama won the national title. And now we get to talk about the things that we're truly passionate about. For instance, we were talking about whether Tom Brady has ever actually eaten a meal out in Tampa in our little pregame meeting. To which I say no. That man is only driven by restaurants in Tampa. He does not eat what the small people eat because it contains chemicals and molecules. And Tom Brady does not eat those.
I'm looking up Tom Brady favorite restaurant in Tampa. There is an article from March, which I think was before he signed, that suggests that he had dinner at Burns Steakhouse with Derek Jeter, and possibly Bill Gates. I'm not making that up.
Is this just one of those guys who like excellence have excellent dinner together?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But then the Athletics Bucks reporter is like, no. The representatives for all of these people say that didn't happen. But like, who would cop to it?
that they'd eaten at Burns and not Outback? Because I know Bill Gates is the kind of guy who, if he has the choice between eating at Burns or Outback, he's going to eat at Outback.
You don't get rich eating at Burns.
Does Burns have Southwestern egg rolls?
I bet you could if you went to Burns and you ordered...
More like Touche, Tom.
I bet you could go to Burns and order Southwestern egg rolls from...
You're such a generous improv partner, and I don't think you get enough credit for it.
Because they would just do that if you were rich enough, right?
No, definitely keep digging.
They would do that.
This is great. I'm going to play Nintendo. Ryan, you're on your own with him.
No, come back!
Oh God, fine.
Please.
Only because Jason's not here.
Thank you.
Am I putting up with this bullshit?
Thank you.
There are no bumpers tonight.
Wow, what a different night from us.
the
Hey everybody, Spencer's terrible to work with. Here's sports.
Welcome. The thing that we wanted to know to go ahead and start off this fine off season is we wanted to ask a question. Just of all of our listeners, anyone who wanted to respond. And that was this. Tell us about a time you set something on fire that was definitely not supposed to be on fire. Did all of you follow the directions here? No, not exactly. Some of these things are definitely supposed to be on fire. You just screwed it up. But most of you did. And I applaud that.
I think most of these things are not supposed to be on fire. I will go ahead and quietly disagree with you.
Yeah, I mean, some of them. I say some. You know,
okay,
like,
yeah.
It's more than one.
Sure.
It's more than one. Some of them are like, oh, I was attempting to set something on fire, and it got out of hand. And to me...
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes it'll be like, I set something on fire that was supposed to be on fire, but that set three other things on fire, and they were not supposed to be.
Yeah. For instance, Warren Abels, longtime friend of the podcast, said, though I'd say wood's original best and primary use is indeed fire, placing an extremely dead and dry Christmas tree upside down in a hypnea is suspect. The end result is a terracotta jet engine. Ill-advised, to say the least, on an 8x12 townhome patio. If you have one of these beautiful Mexican clay stoves, don't just stuff your Christmas tree in it like you're loading a musket and just do that, because you'll create a homemade flamethrower of a severity, degree, and intensity that you are not prepared to deal with.
This feels like a danger, unloading this trick to an audience that's composed, at least in part, of other sports writers. Because it kind of sounds like a Bruce Springsteen song waiting to happen.
I put my Christmas...
You got a Mexican clay stove terracotta jet engine and the sparks into the night.
Now, actually, I think that sounds way
that
more...
That even scanned! How did you do that?
I'm really fucking good at this. What the hell is wrong with you?
Are you, Holly, are you sure it's not a Jimmy Buffett song?
Oh, no, then that's a comedy song. Man, Spider John even scams. Terracotta jet engine.
You got flames to the left, flames to the right.
Terracotta jet engine. Calling authority.
Baby, turn up the radio, the fire on the patio.
Yeah, this is all work. Yeah, this was by the way, off of inspired by a suggestion from
Santa got charred in the fire.
Speaking of, hold on, can we stop on that one? Because
yeah.
I think what started this, I don't know if this is what started this conversation or not.
Society started this.
Society did start this fire. Specifically, one resident in McKinney.
Oh, Spencer, you're leaving out your favorite. Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
One resident in McKinney, Texas, who tried to burn, we'll say his, it doesn't specify, but his feels right here, his Christmas tree in his fireplace at his home. Now, if you were going to try to burn your Christmas tree in your fireplace, which is not recommended, you would probably take the steps of breaking the Christmas tree down into parts so that they could all fit into the fireplace. That is not what this person did. They put... They put the top of the Christmas tree into the fire as if it were a candle they were lighting.
Like a pencil into a pencil sharpener.
Correct.
A pencil into a sharpener.
Correct. And then, of course, here's exactly what the local news article says. Let's see. Only the top of the tree was in the fire, so the flames traveled down the tree and out of the fireplace, officials said. Yes, thank you, officials. That is indeed how fire works.
Did he think he could make a tree disappear with flue powder?
I think he thought like fire is like a wood chipper.
Oh,
and if you yes, and if you just like get it going and you just start pushing, it will just like all burn.
Famously controllable and amiable element, fire.
Yeah.
That goes exactly the way you think it goes every time. He just tried to feed it in there like you throw things into a blender.
Have you guys seen the picture that accompanies this?
I am looking at it right now.
Okay, good, good, good. Because it looks exactly what you would think it would look like.
Oh, It got quite a ways down the trunk, by the way.
You know, here's to me my favorite part of it. You do this in part because you're like, ugh, cleaning up the old Christmas tree is a mess. They're gonna get needles everywhere, blah blah blah. So instead, this person, again, this man just feels right. This man has soot and ash.
Oh, of course it's a man.
And yeah. Pine needles everywhere. There's still pine needles all over this fucking house. You solved nothing. I love it.
You only made three new problems, including one with a potential legal dimension. This is expert uncle energy here.
Oh, yeah.
How do I take a problem and make it four times worse?
It says the damage was limited to the area right around the fireplace, and one person was treated for minor smoke inhalation at the scene. I know who that person was. I have a feeling I know who that person was. I don't think it was an innocent bystander.
No. That's where you should be allowed to type as a journalist. One person with minor smoke inhalation. Who deserved it? You should be able to type that. You know, like, man hit by car, comma, deserved it. We should be able to determine this.
Listen, man, physics and nature are full of consequential learning. You want to learn the hard way? Fire is here for you, friend.
All the time.
All the time.
Fire is always there. It never goes away. It's just waiting to happen. All of the time. I am just going to go ahead and cite one of my favorites, which is from user at Joel Tannum. Used to soak tennis balls in gas and light them up. Let's go ahead and say this. Definitely conforming to the true nature of this question and the intent, because you're starting by setting tennis balls on fire. Something which should never, ever be on fire. Ever. Nice game of catch. In the tinder dry oak forest of central Minnesota. Nobody died. Thank you for establishing the bare minimum by which we are evaluating all of this.
Oak forest of central Minnesota. Nobody died.
Except eight people.
But we weren't really living.
Were the hopes and the dreams and the fire that burned so bright.
God, you're really good at the Springsteen thing.
No shit.
It's good. Yeah, Joel, thank you for establishing the baseline here of it was a success.
This is Billy Joel, right?
Because nobody does. Yes, Billy Joel Tannum.
Joel, but we all know.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally has a song, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Thank you, Ryan.
Which is a fucking, that's a confession if I've ever heard one.
Yeah. I would like to go ahead and double up and do another one here.
Yeah, it's like the Smelt It, Dealt It anthem.
Thank you for the most boomer emotion, which is, we didn't do that.
It was already like this. I will not take any blame for my problems.
JFK was already like that.
I just came home and there was brains on the floor.
Here in the hot dog costume, wondering who did it, who the hell did this?
Is this our musical episode?
It is.
Okay.
At Bad Luck Gregoire says, of the things he was not supposed to set on fire, I don't think anybody has an economy of storytelling quite like this. Myself at Christmas Eve Mass in fifth grade. Church hasn't used real candles since. That's the kicker. Then they had to go back the next year. They're like, there will be no live candles tonight. Eyes all go ahead and slant toward Bad Luck Gregoire. It was me. I set myself on fire. I'm the reason we can't have the cool Jesus candles. Sorry. It's important to have a legacy.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got the joy down in your heart, and you got the fire all about your shoulders and back.
There was flailing. I know there was flailing. And
100%.
Oh, God.
Make a joyful noise.
Anytime you can say, I'm the reason that we don't do that anymore, you've done something really right.
100%. You've literally changed the course of human history in a small way, but still, you did it.
So I drank an entire bottle of Fireball before I went in, and that's why they don't let them do that anymore.
Let Floyd tell his own stories on the podcast, please.
That's true. Actually, Floyd tells the stories before and after the podcast every single week.
And they're better than anything we record.
Oh, Ryan, do you have one that touched your heart?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do this one because it doesn't make any sense. This is from @DapperBill73. When I was a kid, I put a frozen loaf of bread into the microwave, wrapping and all. I'm assuming that means it probably had like a metal twist tie on it or something.
Yeah.
Not knowing how to work a microwave then, I put our phone number in, area code and all, and hit start.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That's the detail that really gets me. The like boop 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 boop, boop start. Having loaded 6 days worth of microwave into the timer, it's time to cook this bread.
There's quite a few of these that involve microwaves, which yes. I feel like after the important Gremlins microwave scene of Joe Dante's classic Gremlins, we would all be familiar with the damaging effects that microwaves can have on anything, that you shouldn't put anything that you're unsure could go into a microwave into said microwave. There's quite a few in here where people who simply do not understand the basics.
Do either of you feel nervous, like, putting normal, safe things in the microwave? Do you ever, like, have that
Absolutely.
Moment where you're like, well, it's literally just, like, a plate with one item on it, but I'm still afraid it's about to explode?
100%. I basically treat every single microwave dish going into a microwave like I am standing over the scram button with Chernobyl. Yeah. Like, it's just a matter of time before I'm going to have to hit that. And screw up everything, right? And yeah. even then, you'll put things in where you go, oh, it's microwave safe. Okay, cool. I'll put that in there. And you'll put the food in there.
I don't believe that shit for a second.
No, I don't believe any of it. Also, I do not believe that I have not left mysterious flecks of aluminum foil in all of my food. Okay. Like, I'll put it in and go, I don't know. This burrito probably has some aluminum foil in it. It's going to explode or something. Because I would do that. I would do like.
I'm frankly astonished that you know that's bad.
See? Steps. Progress. That's what this is.
Holly, do you have a personal story of fire and flame that you want to share? Or I don't know. Like, I'm just asking unprompted.
It's really funny that you say that because I thought I didn't.
Uh huh. This happens then, with every disasters episode. Holly's like, I don't think I have a thing. And then she's like, oh no, I have 8 things.
I thought I didn't, and then during our last production meeting, you said something that made me remember that I do have one, and now I have forgotten it again. Which means okay. It can't be that good.
Okay. Maybe it will return to you over the course.
No, the very boring answer is I used to teach fire building and safety at Girl Scout summer camps, so yeah.
Cool.
I have a ton of fire stories and none of them are disasters except one. Oh no, I remember it. Okay. All right, this wasn't me. I was just there. It will astonish absolutely no one to learn that my friends growing up were the let's see what we can set on fire while everyone's hanging out in the parking lot and making out kids.
No.
Yeah, I know. This is very unlike me. Hello to several of them who've now decided to listen to the show. I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to name anybody's names here except for Matt because he deserves it. And for once, I'm not saying Matt just as a catch-all name because this dude's name was Matt. We had a friend whose parents had a cabin not too far from town, and this is where we would gather to have, you know, bonfires, which bonfire was a loose word. I know we have told Spencer's story before on the show of burning remaindered furniture that they had out of the back of a Haverty's. Really the most metal thing we ever did was just set an entire picnic table over the fire and just let it go. Except one night, Matt was bringing out some gasoline in a metal gas can to throw gas on the fire. Because, listen, when I say this is the kind of thing that happened often, we blew up an entire paper mache cow with black powder 1/4 of July.
Sure.
Okay. You had, well, here's the thing. Nothing went wrong. That's not like, that's not the disaster story, because we're really good at setting things on fire.
Yeah.
We take, listen, this was up in the holler. We take our gunpowder very seriously.
Find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Right, right, right. So, like, I have a lot of fire stories and none of them are disasters. Except this one when Matt dropped a gas can into the fire. And it's only funny to me because of what happened next, which is that everything really does slow down. Like, there is a cinematic slowdown after the gas can falls from his hands and into the fire, and you see everyone as one turn and go and everyone just scatters as the flame shoots skyward. And that was it. Like, nothing bad happened, but it was funny watching everyone in unison. There's like 30 people there just freeze and then scatter like ants.
Sure.
There is a similar story. Asai was not involved in this. I have a similar story from my family, which was my grandparents were enthusiastic campers, and their next door neighbors and best friends were also enthusiastic campers, but they didn't drink. And they were on a camping trip, and the neighbor couple went on a walk or something, and my grandma decides that this is time to get out her little bottle of peach brandy that she had had secured in her purse. And they came back, I guess, unexpectedly while she was still sipping. And in the brown paper bag, the little flask, not thinking very clearly, but thinking very quickly, she just tosses the whole thing into the fire. So it's possible this is just a recurring theme in my life. But no, I have... Listen, man, what more annoying thing could I tell you than I don't have any fire disaster stories because I'm too good at fire?
That, I think that tracks both with my understanding of you as a person and probably your perception with the listeners, so.
Right. One of my, listen, you guys need to talk to my friends on the show and not me, because the same people that I'm mentioning in these stories, one of them is currently trying to build a jet engine out of spare parts in his driveway.
To what end?
And when I said, to attach to what? And he said, So
not no, but
Like, this is just, when you say, hey, we set something on fire and it was bad, this is like a Tuesday.
Sure.
For people I went to high school with. So this is, I'm not trying to be cool. Like, this is not really my lane.
I hope that's what somebody said to the Wright brothers when they were like, all right, Orville, it's time to test off flying machine. And somebody came along and said, and then what? And they were like,
This is the guy who came in one night holding a 3-ring binder and said, hey, does anybody want to learn how to operate a crane? And my best friend said, where did you get that? And he gives her this devastating, withering look, and he goes, from the crane. So, like, yep. I'm operating from a different baseline, I think, than most people are when it comes to setting shit on fire, because I grew up in a really small town with one movie theater.
Sure. The rest of us are like, The Simpsons was funny. And you're like, I never watched The Simpsons, but I've seen things done with a backhoe.
I can make napalm, but I've never seen The Simpsons.
All right. So,
I think we burned a lot of people's eyebrows off, but, like, nothing bad.
Eyebrows aren't necessary.
They grow back.
No.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's very boring, but I was teaching fire safety from, like, sixth grade on. Like, I don't have any good things to add to this.
So, the thing that I've set on fire that I didn't mean to set on fire involved...
Also, I'm probably forgetting something that I didn't think was an emergency, so... If y'all hear this and you know I'm leaving something out, just let me know. I probably forgot.
Mine was on an obvious re-gift during a Christmas at my in-laws. Somebody had given, I can't remember which exact in-law, somebody had received a gift which was about, it was a box about 4 inches wide and about 12 inches long. And when you opened it up, became pretty apparent that somebody had gotten a personal massager for Christmas as a re-gift. It was like a complete obvious re-gift.
Wait, like, is it used?
It was of the sort and random enough, I remember, that this person could not have gotten it. Like, I think it was given to, like, one of the sons.
I'm saying original packaging?
The packaging that had, like, previous tape marks on it, so that it had been wrapped and rewrapped, and somebody had just decided to pass it off. But I say personal massager. What I really mean is this mother was a Hitachi magic wand.
Wow.
All right?
Oh, that's like the Cadillac of personal massagers, isn't it?
The Cadillac of personal massagers that are usually used on only one part of the body. Yeah. And was given to, I believe, one of the sons. It also had instructions in Japanese, leading me to believe that it was the OG. It was not like this. Like somebody had ordered this.
Well, oh, this is like when you get Guinness in Ireland.
Did it come with a voltage adapter? How does that even work?
So you're leaning into a very important part of the story.
Oh, no! Oh, I just saw where this is going. Oh, no!
Which I don't really remember how this worked, because presumably, if it didn't have
this
a voltage adapter...
This is actually why Kevin's mom is asking his dad if he packed the voltage adapter in Home
Alone. Right.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
She has enough kids. She does not want to have sex with that man again.
Hop on that Hitachi over the Atlantic. Wait, do dudes use the Hitachi? Where?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
I'm like, is there an application for this that
no.
I am not aware of?
No, you are not missing anything.
Dudes who know better than Spencer, please email 38 Godfrey.
Yes.
No pictures.
Graphic
no
detail.
Pictures.
No pictures. Go ahead.
All the pictures go on Twitter. Put all the words in the email.
All the disgusting words go in the email.
Stephen.Godfrey@voxmedia.com.
Make it thorough.
Yeah.
And
a good reporter appreciates details.
So we plugged it in, right? I was like, okay,
Wasn't I just saying I missed that Basement Jacks album?
So I was going to plug it in because I was the one who went, oh, let's see if this thing actually works.
Plug it in, baby.
And I plugged it into the wall and it sort of made it. There was an ominous warmth to the touch.
Wait, an ominous warmth where?
You know, when you were holding it, like it, as if it were growling. And I thought, I don't know if the voltage is right on this. But I thought, let's just go ahead and give it a run anyway.
Jesus Christ.
And I turned it on, and it began to vibrate at an unreal rate with infinite climb.
Isn't that like the point?
Like,
like you can sand a table with this motherfucker.
It started out
makes me want to try one.
It started out at what might be a realistic high-end RPM.
It's like a real-life hyena between your knees.
Jesus.
To name-check Chernobyl again, you know when they say, the last reading we have was 30,000, you know, volts per second? Yeah, that was the last reading we had on the OG Hitachi Magic Wand plugged into the wall. Because at that point, it went, and I heard a... And something inside it exploded. I dropped it.
Yeah, that's the point.
And it burst into flame.
Oh, inside the thing.
Like a TIE fighter. Like a TIE fighter crashing on a planet.
Ooh. Imperial probe droid or Jojo? Is Tumblr still a thing?
Yeah, and I think that's the exact kind of thing it's there for at this point.
Yeah, I do.
What do you mean, at this point?
That's fair. There was poetry before as well.
Yeah, all right.
The IG-69, ready for your use.
Jeez, come on. This isn't a show for cheap jokes.
More like a thigh fighter.
So yeah, I had to kick the plug out of the wall to avoid a serious electrical fire.
This is to stop
a serious electrical fire.
I saved
in
a
progress.
Listen, I saved a life that day. Okay.
This is your friendly reminder that the good people at Wirecutter, according to their own words, have put in 110 cumulative hours of research and testing to come up with their list of the best vibrators.
110. Not 110. Since the Pony Express have brave people been so saddle sore.
Kevin Costner, please don't make a movie about this.
I'm going to make a movie about this. Oh, my God.
Nothing will stop these females. That's, yeah. No, so, listen, all respect to Wirecutters. If you want real dildo reviews, you got to talk to lesbians. Let's go to Autostraddle.
Fair.
God. So, yeah, that's the time I accidentally set something on fire, which was not supposed to be. All right, how's this? I don't think it was supposed to be on fire.
No, I'm going to go ahead and say it wasn't. I can confidently say.
No, the fire is supposed to be largely metaphorical, as I understand the concept.
That was not the intended effect of the product here.
No.
Unless
what a story.
Yeah.
What a country.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this one from... Define again. PDX Irish on Twitter. My parents rented a giant dumpster to clean the garage. My sister was sneaking a smoke on the roof and threw the butt into the dumpster, lighting the whole...
My sister was sneaking a smoke on the roof. Sorry, I didn't have a good dildo song, so I'm trying to make up ground now.
That's fair. Lighting the whole dumpster on fire. The fire department had to come, and my sister tried to blame it on fireworks from the neighbor kids.
That's a pro move.
You know what? That is like a vague enough assertion of somebody else's blame that I think you, not 9 times out of 10, but 6 times out of 10, I think that would work.
I would like to inform everyone that the New Gorge Bridge in West Virginia, the New River Gorge in West Virginia is a beautiful historic piece of architecture and an important...
Wasn't it just declared a national park like last week?
It's a national heritage site. Yeah, it's on the Register of Historic Places. It is 876 feet above the New River. It's one of the highest bridges in the world. It's the third highest in the United States. And I say all of that to back up and contextualize John Radcliffe's story that he shares with us, which may be one of the purest expressions of sheer bored country creativity I have ever read. It's one of those things that you read and you go,
parking up.
You go, oh, I must have, I really, you have, you, this whole history should be told backwards, right? Poured lighter fluid on a frozen turkey and lit it on fire.
Thank you, God.
... Then kicked it off the catwalk of the New York Bridge and watched it all the way down, baby.
My man.
And an angel came down from heaven playing Bob with the Bob on his trumpet.
Just John Denver rising from the ashes of the turkey, like, hello, my son, you've summoned me.
He's like, he rises and he's like, it was about the western part of Virginia. That guy nailed it.
Eat shit.
The best part
Go
of
back
this.
To being dead, John Denver. That's all you're going to do. Unhelpful.
Terrible pilot.
What I like about this story is that it does not, I think in the style of really good movies from the 80s, it doesn't explain too much. Like Back to the Future is never like, here is how time travel work. It just says, here's this bullshit device we made up. Time travel's possible. Move on. In the same way, this gentle listener it's not important why they had a frozen turkey or why they lit it on fire. They just did those things. Just happened.
There's a whole beautiful setup leading to this, a whole series of historical circumstances and personal decisions that led up to this.
An arc of a life leading to this.
Yeah.
A baby is born, and when the parents look at the baby, they don't know that one day that child, that sweet little innocent babe, will pour lighter fluid on a frozen turkey, light it on fire, and kick it off the catwalk of a bridge.
Sometimes they do, and those babies all get named Larry.
There's your Cat Stevens song.
Oh, God. It's just John Radcliffe standing there going, I won't kick this bitch off the New River Gorge Bridge. That's what I'm going to do. We'll set it on fire first.
Honey, if you don't put that knife down, I'm going to toss you like a turkey covered in lighter fluid off the New River Gorge Bridge.
I've done it. I've done it before. He has. I seen it. I seen it. He did it. Oh, what a beautiful story. Thank you, John.
What a life.
That's my favorite
one.
What
a world.
That's it. You know what? I'm just going to say this. A lot goes into that moment, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about a lot goes into that moment. A lot gets invested.
Sure.
You don't get a, you don't get the kind of fortune, the kind of payoff from a life that involves kicking a turkey off the New River Gorge Bridge, right? Without putting in...
Drop kick me, Jesus, off the New River Gorge Bridge of life.
What I'm saying is that the seeds of that moment were planted long ago. Hmm. Which reminds me...
What kind of seeds, Spencer?
You don't have to be rich to start investing. With Acorns and Acorns.com, anyone can save and invest in the background of life. You can find yourself free and wealthy enough to go ahead and pursue the things you want to pursue, like kicking a flaming turkey off the New River Gorge Bridge. Acorns.com. Acorns is the country's leading saving and investing app. Over 8 million people have saved and invested in the background of life. You can get started in just under 5 minutes. I did it myself. Downloaded the Acorns app from the App Store or by visiting acorns.com. Acorns does things like, yeah, invest spare change from everyday purchases. You know, coffee, gas, tickets. In my case, you know, the other day, just went to...
Non-voltage adapted Japanese sex toys.
Yeah, you know, you spend a couple bucks on that. It's just going to take that little bit. It's going to throw it into the internet for you and invest it, all right? You can set recurring investments so you don't even have to think about it. There's no expertise required. Obviously, I did it. No expertise required. Acorns diversified portfolios are designed by experts to help you maximize growth potential and weather market ups and downs. You can even, if you want to, get a heavy metal debit card. Metal. It saves and invests for you instead of putting you in debt. It's partnerships with brands, or hey, you could even find a job right in the app. What I did with the family plan was I invested with the Acorns early. Hey, you know what? Early with the kids, we've already made a grand total of $25.
Beep, beep, beep,
and
beep.
70 cents. And paid off. We've already
the
made
the fire it. Rises, and so does your personal finance, child.
This is a very important evening for you, young Joshua. Bane just handed out investing advice here.
Think about your future. 401k, your future. Bitch. I'm sorry, Joshua. I'm not Why good with children.
Why did this have to be gendered? We were having a whole day. Very... Why make it a gendered insult?
It's very important. Yeah, we've, and by the way, this week, yeah, we've already made, we've already, we're up. By the way, we down a little bit yesterday, 16 cents, but overall, we, you know, we're up like a good 250 in the kids' investment accounts. What I'm saying is this, that if you visit acorns.com/fullcast, you can claim your $5 bonus when you sign up. It takes under 3 minutes to start investing and saving in the background of life. acorns.com/fullcast.
Good job, Spencer.
I know. That's what happens. You just stick to the script. Cite some personal experience. Don't set anything on fire.
No, well, I know we present Acorns as like an investment tool and a retirement tool, blah, blah, blah. I think based on the submissions we got, the real purpose of our audience having an Acorns account is to defray the cost of fire damage that they are causing in their everyday life.
How true.
Evidently, and I would say this, that sometimes that might even be damage that you could write off as a government expense if you follow the example of Squire 81, who deployed to Iraq in 2004. They'd burned the classified docs from the day's F-16 sorties. At first, that was like, you know, trash can with paper in it, but over time, they decided to add a stone fire pit and some chairs. We thought that other folks might enjoy a fire to sit by. So they kind of built this little outdoor patio, you know, with supplies. They made a little fire pit. There's a nightly crowd. And since there weren't any nighttime light restrictions in place, they kept expanding the fire operation. So if you wonder, Do a bunch of Americans just on the other side of the world just decide to turn burning classified documents into like a, you know, beer and fire pit kind of jam? Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I have such faith in this country sometimes. Eventually, we had a nightly gathering of two or three dozen Air Force and Army attendees. Now, don't get me wrong, the opposition were 100% shooting rockets and mortars over the wire daily, nightly, but most of them were poorly aimed, so it was cool. One particular night, we were running short of ad hoc incendiary supplies, so I tossed a can of tuna into the embers as the fire got going.
Put a can of tuna in the embers.
Okay, that one's definitely Jimmy Buffett. I insist that that one is Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, all right, all right.
We just started to notice the hiss and whistle of the tuna can pre-explosion, and out this new guy walks, born and bred in Alabama. He sees us all tucking in and hiding behind chairs and benches and makeshift seats behind the fire. And in a perfect Birmingham drawl, he says, "Hey, where are y'all hiding from?" I swear to God, the minute the of the word from the just passed his lips as he entered danger close for tuna fragmentation, as soon as he said it, boom, flaming hot tuna flew in all directions. This poor guy got face blasted with fire-kissed canned fish on his first day in country, not to mention his first night coming out to check our classified burned bonfire. After that, we used the paper shredder for our classified papers.
Fire-kissed canned fish is actually the fourth verse of Grapefruit Juicy Fruit. This is canon.
Man, y'all got away with words. There's some evocative language in here. That's beautiful, y'all. By the way, don't skip over this little detail in there where they're like, yeah, they were shooting rockets and mortars at us, but we had a fire anyway that we were all standing around because, they sucked at it.
Holly, do you have one you want to grab?
I got a fire disaster.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal at Florida International.
Hey!
Next.
Okay. Here's one from TC Internets on Twitter. I was coming home from baseball practice 21 or so years ago, and my buddy sees a pop-up trailer on fire in someone's driveway, but just on the lid, like an accelerant had been poured on top. He gets out with a fire extinguisher, runs to the driveway, and the owner, presumably, is smoking and staring at it. Yeah, I called insurance. Damnedest thing. Must have been my neighbor, asshole. Buddy heads toward the camper with the extinguisher, and the guy freaks out, running at him. Hey, man, listen, that's dangerous. I got shit in there. I don't want you to get hurt. We are idiot high school kids, but this is textbook insurance fraud, and my buddy is an EMT in training. He extinguishes the fire, and the guy is now calling the cops from his house phone, saying we, quote, violated his property. The cops show up. This guy goes to jail, and when the cop shows up, he slowly walks to the dude and yells, "Hey, Randy, you remember this didn't work last time, right?"
Classic Randy.
I would argue Randy doesn't remember that at all. Doesn't remember, or at least, like, you know, we didn't say to the first rocket crews at NASA, like, hey guys, you remember this didn't work next time, right? We kept going. Like, this is just the moon, but for insurance fraud of a pop-up trailer.
The moon, but for insurance fraud. That's a little redundant, don't you think? That's fair. Counselor?
Do you think you need insurance? Do you think you need insurance to go to the moon? How do you insure an astronaut?
UCF fans, please let us know.
They have to have health insurance, right? But what the fuck does that policy look like?
Doesn't matter. It can happen. They'll make it.
Man, now that Space Force is apparently continually, assistantly going to be a thing.
Yeah.
This has got to be easier to find out, right?
The best part about Space Force is that no way those motherfuckers are spending a second in space. Space Force is going to be
Wow.
You watch.
Manning, noted liberal, doubting the
troops. Doubting the space troops. No, I'm just, like, I feel space confident.
Doubting the spoops. Oops.
The spoops.
No, I can't do it.
I just have a feeling we're going to talk to someone who's like, yeah, I did 10 years in Space Force. Oh, where'd you go, Allentown?
Yeah. It'd be like, where were you assigned to Space Force?
The zero gravity chair force.
See, if they were smart, we would like search the names of the offices and the locations of the offices of Space Force and find that they were the most
Peoria.
They were the most plum spots in the United States military, like Maui. What? Why are there 8 offices in Hawaii? And 3 in Miami Beach? And 2 in Aspen? What? Yeah, man. I don't know. It's crazy. Evidently, these are all, like, you know, space-critical places. We have to be there.
The timing of Space Force makes me absolutely convinced that at least one person responsible for its creation did so after he saw the film Aloha.
100%.
There are only 3 FAQs on the Space Force website. They are in order. What's this?
Is this real?
Well, sort of. What's the Space Force? How will the space... How will the Space Force impact me? And how do I join? That's it. Those are the only 3 questions you can have about Space Force.
How will the Space Force... Are you an alien? It will impact you greatly.
Let's see. How will the Space Force impact me?
Are you a meteor?
We are coming for your oil.
We are coming to fuck you up, brother!
Meteor oil.
Ooh.
I upset myself.
Oh, there's too many. There's more... got boring. Stupid
we
government.
We should write more frequently asked questions for the Space Force.
We should. Yeah.
How do you poop in space? That would be it. I'd just submit that over and over again.
That part's easy.
Isn't there one of the Apollo missions where somebody had a poop floating around?
There is. Yeah.
Was that an Apollo mission or was that later?
No, it was one of the Apollo missions. And one of the astronauts is on the transcript saying, "That doesn't look like one of mine." To which I go, how bored were y'all?
I love space.
Holy shit! 16,000 military and civilian space personnel were assigned to the Space Force.
Oh, they're not all doing their jobs.
No! There's not like, 16,000 people worth of Space Force shit to do right now.
I just want to see the one person who's like, okay, so here's the space shotgun, and here's the space keg. And here's the space...
Here's the space church.
Bong.
Here's the space steeple. Open it up and snake!
All right, I'm in charge of writing the rules about not having sex with aliens. That's my whole job.
Everybody, Bradley's in charge of writing the rules about not having sex with aliens.
No, you're going to want to have sex with aliens.
It's going to be uncontrollable. The urge, we call it.
Gonna be
you're gonna fall into something the scientists call the thrall. The thrall is overwhelming. Do not give in.
It's
nope,
gonna
nope. Don't interrupt Ryan.
The thrall will last for several days. You will find yourself engorged in ways you never thought possible.
This is like all of those guys from NYPD. All those guys from NYPD who became like experts in cybersecurity after 9/11, despite the fact that they had never done anything but work traffic detail in Queens. They're like, yeah, I work cybersecurity. Now I'm in space security.
If you've ever seen the documentary Species, you know what I'm talking about.
That's a duck. Yeah, it's totally true. It's exactly how it happens.
Oh, man. There's no gravity to interfere with your boner either.
No.
It's dangerous. It's a dangerous projectile up there. You got to handle it accordingly.
Ladies, you want to be alarmed for what we call the floating sploosh.
Oh, God. That's probably 1,000 people out of that 16,000. Somebody just put it in front of Trump and was like, hey, you got to sign this part. It's about sex and space. And he's like, oh, yeah.
No, we're not talking about that, man.
It's important. My next story is, I think, probably the one where I go, yeah, this is the most little boy business I've ever heard in my life. That's at a person, it just says, when I was about 8, I put a sock over a light bulb because the lamp in my bedroom didn't have a lampshade and I wanted a dull light. Why did he want a dull light? So I could see my Game Boy screen without glare. When I learned that cotton polyester socks smell like burnt eggs when they catch on fire. That is...
vaguely amazed this doesn't happen more often.
God, that is the most little boy shit ever, is to go, well, let's see. I could just stop playing the Game Boy. or I could alter my entire like environment and start a potentially deadly fire just so I have less glare on my Game Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, man, you're not gonna be Wario in the woods with some fucking glare on your Game Boy. It's just not happening.
You don't see the hashtag boy dad going around like hashtag girl dad. Oh, it's cool. We want to share these experiences. It's great. This is really just an enriching part of our lives. And boy dad would just be like, they're destroying me. They're chipping me off one cell at a time.
No. Yeah. Being a boy mom is like they're showing up on the scanner, but I don't see them. I think they're in the ceiling. They're coming. Oh, God.
That was just bing. Boy dad is just the aliens ping noise.
There's too many of them, man. They peed in the TV again.
Game over, man.
Because they peed in the TV. Who would pee in the TV?
Boys would.
I saw a vent, so I just went for it.
This was the one run-in that I had with Elder Nephew today, which was he was kind of being an imperious little shitbird to his brother and who had the hiccups. I said, you should drink some water. And he's like, yeah, you should drink some water. And I'm trying to just cruise past that. And I was like, water's good for everything. Calm down. He's like, everything? And I was just trying to get past this moment. And I was like, yes, everything. And he goes, everything? And I said, I turned around and I said, stop. And he froze. And I said, you know that when I say water's good for everything, I mean plants and animals and people, and not that you should pour your water on the television, right? And he just stared at me, and I was like, is that what you were gonna do? And he just stared at me. And then I just had to stare back at him until he dropped his eyes like a display of dominance.
Because he was thinking it.
He was thinking about it.
It was in his head. He's like, maybe.
He was thinking about it.
He's like, maybe it'd be a good idea if I poured this water on the TV.
He was thinking about it.
It's the perfect crime. She said everything, so she can't get mad.
Dudes are so fucking stupid. Oh, my God. This is what I've learned from having two boys. We're so fucking dumb.
This was the good one.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
This was the good one.
Yeah.
It's really just about channeling your stupidest impulses. See the space program. Yeah, I think it'd be cool to just like sit on top of a rocket.
Well, I assume that's why we greenlit Space Force, so that we can get all of our most dude life dudes and be like, yeah, just go live in space, man. Fucking rock out with your cock out. It's fine. Who cares?
That's what exploration is all about. Consider this, that the first people to get in boats were like, yeah, man, we're going to the other side of this thing. And they got like 50 miles out, and they're like, ah, we forgot water. That really happened.
Isabella was like, you want money? Whatever, fine. Just fucking go, Christopher. You're insufferable.
Just go.
Can't
God,
fucking
there's so
stand
many smelly,
your stupid Italian
smelly,
ass.
Stupid idiot boys. Christopher's like, if I poured this oil on the fire, something might happen, Isabella. And he's like, just go. Just get go. Out of my house. It's God. Fine. You idiots. What are you going to do? I got to pee. I'm going to do it right here in the corner. No,
I don't think the earth is flat, and I'm going to prove it by sailing to the edge. Fuck you, Dad. I almost wish really. The earth had been flat just for those stories. Oh, shit! No!
Should have listened to you, Dad.
Just we live on a giant pizza!
I would be there at the very edge, just leaning over the edge of the earth, watching them plummet into forever nothingness, just going, wow, owned! Yeah, you're right! Bye!
Miss Andre!
Yeah.
I meant to do this!
I need it. Hey, when you're dead and floating in the ether for this lifetime and all the worlds to come, can I have your stuff?
I know! My stuff!
Accidenti!
A pizza!
God, Columbus would totally be over the edge with his horny, awful ass.
That's it. That's what the Crusades were. They're like, God, you idiots, just go somewhere. Just go somewhere. We'll go east. Yeah, just go east. Here, just go leave.
Really, the Crusades existed because we didn't have Dave and Buster's.
That's
Why didn't we invent go-karts yet?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about Chuck E. Cheese for murder ever since Spencer said it. And you know when they really could have used that? Crusade times.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Fucked up history. All right, this story comes from Christy527. This is not a story I understand, and it's not important. Set the toilet on fire in the bathroom next to the kitchen while making breakfast. Do anything with that. I don't know how that happened or why. I don't think it matters that I know. But this is a thing that can happen in human life. So
I'm really
this
intrigued.
This is actually the origin of the Babysitter's Club book titled Christy's Big Idea.
All right. There's one other one I want to do real quick.
I have one on
go
this
ahead,
as
go
well.
Ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is from at John Tweet Sports. Set the carpet inside the church sanctuary on fire playing Indiana Jones.
Oh,
rolled
God.
Up church bulletins and lit them on fire as torches. Dropped one in. Whoosh. Fire. Had to stomp it out. Lied about it to my dad, who was a pastor. Got our butt beat. I would like you to imagine this all happening to the theme. Just
I mean, you want to talk about a story about a rowdy son, Indiana Jones. That fits. Yeah. Do you think
that is not helping in that situation?
Oh no, he's a shitty dad. I agree with that. But do you think the curators of that church in Last Crusade, do you think they eventually were like, what the fuck? This fucking professor just came and caved a fucking hole in, and now there's rats and fire in our fucking...
You know that one librarian next door who they see at lunch every day for biscotti is like, you should hear this shit that happened with my stamp today.
Yeah. I think I'm
but
Thor. I think I have, library Mjolnir.
All right, I have one for Ryan. It's from Brandon Marcello, the excellent college football writer, but it seems targeted personally to Ryan Nanny.
Oh, good.
So I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Early 90s, I threw a bunch of multicolored sparklers into a gutter drain wanting to see Ninja Turtle colors. A sewer party!
That's correct.
Drain was filled with dead leaves.
Oh!
After 30 seconds of purples and greens, it caught fire, shooting flames through the grate and onto neighbor's grass. What I want you to imagine, Ryan Nanny, is this.
So those orange flames represent Michelangelo, to whom this would totally happen.
But please imagine little
wait,
Brandon
wait, wait.
Watching
did
this.
Did you go directly here because we were talking about Italy and you said you know what that reminds me of? The Ninja Turtles?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. This is an Italian heritage tweet. Hmm. But please imagine little Brandon looking at that and thinking, I've burned the Ninja Turtle.
Oh no! Oh God!
Oh God!
I'm Shredder! I was Shredder all along!
Teenage Mutant Ninja.
For the record, Shredder would probably have better luck if he tried fire and guns and shit and not I must defeat you in hand-to-hand fucking combat.
Come on, this is New York in the late 80s. Come on.
What's scarier than a New York rat doing hand-to-hand combat?
A New York rat with a gun. Rat with an unregistered pistol.
Where's it going to get bullets?
Anywhere. It was New York in the 80s.
I made them.
They're made of pizza. Very good pizza because it is New York and they have the good water.
Actually, it's bromated flat.
It would be very funny, also in the style of Indiana Jones, if Splinter and Shredder faced off and Shredder launches into this big stupid monologue and then Splinter just pulls out a gun and shoots him in the fucking gut.
Ninja Turtles would have been over so much faster if they'd been armed.
Shredder could have been defeated in a hurry if you just threw a bunch of sparklers in through the grates in his face.
That's
mask.
Brandon
sure.
figured this out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's the Ninja Turtle we've been waiting for.
He burned them down.
The mythical fifth Ninja Turtle, Brandon Marcella. What color is left? Yellow? Brown.
Yeah.
No. This is the yellow of a new flame.
That's right. That's what it is.
I decided to feed him with the weapon that never needs reloading, despair.
And
no,
fire.
No, wait. What if What if he's green for the Ninja Turtle you'll never see coming?
Wow. So, like, nude.
Oh, man.
I mean,
they're all nude, man.
They are all nude. That's true.
They're all nude. Don't make it weird.
They're all very nude.
Were the Ninja Turtles the original Lord of the Rings masculinity avatars?
Yes.
Yeah, like non-problematic masculinity, yeah. Supportive, enthusiastic, affectionate.
Then they put on the trench coats, and it's kind of weird.
Have we discussed which Ninja Turtles we are? Because we have done this on Hand in the Dirt, where Michael Felder and I both discovered that we are Michelangelos who are aging unwillingly into Raphael.
What an idiot I am. I have watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. I have seen both of the movies, including the Secret
three
of
movies,
the
sir. There's three movies.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's three.
How dare I've seen you two out of the three. Ryan, there's four.
I had and no that's idea true, they yeah. had. I had no four. Idea they had different personalities.
Please don't
I think my brain
turtles through time.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? You don't know they had different personalities. No. It's like there are. Okay, you're a Michelangelo, but this seals it.
No, but my entire brain has just never gotten over watching, like, hey, it's a talking turtle. I think my brain
oh my
never
God.
Got over
it. It's not even that all, impressive in it's fact.
Not, it doesn't even
disagree,
look like,
evidently.
It doesn't even look like a turtle.
It's fucking Corey Feldman in a rubber suit.
What's he not amazing about suit. That?
Wait. That's Corey Feldman?
Corey Feldman's, I think, the voice of one of them. He's not in the
I
suit,
thought he
though.
Played a person. Oh, okay.
Corey Feldman, Ninja Turtle. I'm pretty sure he
I
is.
I thought he played one of the disaffected youths.
He's Donatello. And he is one of the least Donatello people in the world.
Apart from Spencer.
Yeah, Spencer's
Ryan,
not very
Ryan, you're probably a Donatello. You're the smart one.
I think that's probably true. Also, I just, like, don't do anything that interesting. Like, Donatello never is like, they're never like, uh-oh. Donatello had too much
Everybody...
fun.
Everybody disrespects the bow staff, but look who gets to drive the pizza van.
That's true. And also, like,
all I'm saying.
I like the bow staff because it's a very, like, hey, man, I never worry about, like, accidentally rolling over in my sleep and stabbing myself. It's a fucking stick. I'm fine.
Over here
right.
Nursing multiple eye injuries from my nunchucks. What are you talking about?
I'm fine.
All right, this is from Sporps Shouting on Twitter. I came
Wait,
home.
Have I told y'all about the time I went on a date in college with a dude who brought a pair of collapsible metal nunchucks and a holster on his belt?
I think you just did.
All right, we'll set that for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
There was not a second date, and I married him.
Reader. All right, I came up,
but he fell into the pool before the end of the date. It was not a pool party.
I came home from class in undergrad to find a fire crackling merrily in the kitchen. I thought it was nice
we
until
didn't
I
have a fireplace.
Until I remembered we didn't have a fireplace. That's correct.
Oh shit! I'm not looking at the list. Can you tell?
My roommate had left the oven door open and turned it on self-cleaning without wiping out any grease.
What the hell?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
what?
Boy.
Which, first of all, don't leave it open.
No. Why would you do that? Why?
How did the oven even start the self-cleaning cycle?
I assume that means it was a pretty old oven that, like, didn't have the safety features of modern appliances. And oh, where self-cleaning was just, like, super broil.
Just burn that shit off. That's
pretty
the
much.
Official scientific term for it.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I got, I'm going to close this out on this.
Okay.
If I can just finish this. This is from at Self-Aware Bear. My buddies in high school worked maintenance on a local golf course one summer. The head turf guy foolishly asked them to deal with some fire ant mounds on a small slope near the driving range. That's mistake number one. Independent decision making granted teens on a golf course. That's on you. They, being male summer teenage employees, decided to take a post hole digger to several piles and pour in gasoline. Figured they'd smoke them out. Oh, God. Probably 100 yards of hillside went up in flames. Smoke visible for miles. Eventually, the grass on the hill burned itself out because it wasn't a very nice course. Ants survived.
Yes! Yes!
I really hope they were standing there and a full-size, six-foot-tall ant was standing next to it going, damn, look at that.
Damn,
somebody's gonna get hurt.
You fucked up. I'm gonna take your job.
I'll get rid of the ants for like $100. It's been a hard winter. We ain't got shit. We'll just go over to the next course and come back. We'll be like paying rent to ourselves. $100, leave. $100, leave. People are dumbasses.
Ants survived.
Ants survived. By the way, Buddy's got asked to return the following summer. $8 an hour under the table is a fortune to 11th graders. And damn, if that is not the truth.